Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are so glad you are joining us today. And if you were listening to this radio station a few minutes ago, just prior, that wonderful show from our dear sisters in the Lord, what a great show. So we're glad you are sticking with us here for Living the Good Life. And it's going to be a joy. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me on the air today are two of our Indiana team members. Betty, is that you or is that your daughter Megan that just called in?
That would be the daughter Megan. Hi, Pastor Marcia.
Hey, daughter Megan. How are you? How are you?
I'm good. A little chilly, but I'm good. Up here in Indiana, it's cold.
How cold is it?
Well, right now it's 33 degrees.
There you go. Do you know, actually, it was 41 at my house this morning.
Oh, heaven.
But now it's
cold for Florida.
Yeah, I know it. Now it's close to 60. I don't know what it is, but it warms up pretty quickly. But so glad to hear your voice, dear Meg. You've been very busy with sick kids and all kinds of stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, sick kids, teething kids, kids losing teeth, kids in school. It's never ending. But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love it.
So sounds like you got some teeth problems, right?
Yeah, we have one losing teeth, and we have one getting teeth. So the one losing teeth, though, it's an easier transition than the one getting teeth.
Oh, yes. The one getting teeth, Zoe Grace, is probably a little fussy, maybe, you think? Maybe just a bit?
You know, it turns in more. It's not so much fussy. It's more of, where's Mommy? Because Mommy is the only one that I want right now.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
You know, Mommy doing anything, leaving the room, it's a catastrophe. So Mommy always has to be in sight.
It's very traumatic, isn't it? Yes.
It is. It's hard, you know, it's hard being a baby.
It's hard being a baby, especially being little Zoe Grace, huh?
That's
so
right.
And that's all right. You know what? She's just beautiful. She's just great. Her pictures are amazing. So
they're both blessings.
Yes, they both are. Absolutely, that's true. Little Andrew. Anyway, it's so good to have you on the air with us again, Megan. Is that Mama Betty on the line now, too?
Yes, ma'am, I is here.
All right.
Hi, Mama. hey, Meg, how you doing?
Are you guys in the same location today, or are you separate?
We will be shortly. I'm headed back towards the ranch now.
So all right.
We'll be back in presence together here shortly.
All right, okay. It's kind of crazy up there in Connersville, Indiana, isn't it? So anyway, it's always fun to have Betty and Megan, and this is the first show that mother and daughter have been able to be with us for a while together, so
yes, it's
really cool. You know, we are in a period of time here as we start this new year, 2016, Betty and Megan, where we're really concentrating on increasing our faith, each of us individually, and as we each increase our faith individually, then corporately, Beacon of Hope becomes stronger, because what matters is that our faith is increasing. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because first we must believe that he is, and then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so according to Hebrews 11:6, we are diligently seeking to be faithed up. That's the title of our series. In other words, full of faith, faithed up to overflowing. What does that mean to you, Megan? What does that mean to you?
What that means to me is that you let go of all your inhibitions, or you drop all your pride. You let, you know, you give the Lord your whole entire heart, and you prove to him through your actions.
Right.
That you believe in him.
Amen.
That's what it means to me.
Amen. What about you, Mama Betty? It's kind of fun to get faithed up, don't you think? It's kind of like when you're getting ready to go on a trip and you say, just a minute, I better go down to the gas station and get gassed up, right?
That's right.
It's the same type of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that. It's kind of like getting your battery recharged.
Right.
And keeping it charged.
Right.
Not letting your gas tank get too low before you have to fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a neat way to put your total faith and trust in God.
Amen.
And his word.
Amen. So important. So important. And of course, you just said it. The basis of all of this is the word of God. Our slogan at Beacon of Hope Ministries is and has been for all these 15 years, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Talk to me about that, Megan, before we get to this first song.
Well, you know, we all need a home base.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is a church.
Right.
We need to be together fellowshipping. And because that is where we get renewed. That's
right.
Where we get fed. And that's where a body of believers can come together and pray in unity.
Yes.
And then where the Lord says, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them.
Right.
And that's, you know, there's power in numbers.
Amen.
And, you know, the beacon of hope, that's just what you guys are, is you're a beacon in the way that the world is today, is you're a shining light.
Yes.
And we all need that in our lives. We need that light. We need the Lord.
Amen.
And we need each other as Christians.
Oh, we certainly do. We certainly do. And you know, this is a big old adventure we're all on, Betty. You know what song I'm going to start with today, right? One that you and Megan actually introduced to me a few years back by Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Great Adventure. And tell me about your adventure of faith, Betty. What does that song mean to you?
Well, I think it's that we totally trust, ride, and believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That there is no other, that the word of God is the truth, the light, and he is the truth, the life, and
Amen.
The way.
Amen.
And any time that your struggles in life is that, you know, the Lord is taking us all on a new adventure.
Right.
And we have to be ready and faced up to face that new adventure.
Amen, amen, amen. So without further ado, woo, let's go.
Another time around the circle.
Love that song. Yes, we've got a lot to do for the kingdom of God, and we're going to do it. And I love that song. It refers to those horses that y'all have up there on your ranch. Let's start with prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be on the airwaves today and this coming weekend on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Lord, we thank you that you have opened these doors of opportunity to get the gospel out. And we are grateful, and we just give you this time. Lord, we ask your anointing on all that is said and all that is taught. And Lord, for the songs, every part of this broadcast, we ask you, Lord, to absolutely fill us to overflowing with what we need to speak and what we need to communicate. You get the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, let's go there. We're talking about building our faith. And this is all of Matthew chapter 6 is Jesus talking. And I love this. It should be in red letter on your Bible if you have one of those red letter editions. And he starts out talking about prayer in a very interesting way. And I'm going to start out with the Message Bible, and then we're going to get Betty and Megan in here. He says this, be especially careful when you're trying to be good, so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. Verse 2 of Matthew 6. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone is watching. Playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's not all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That's the way your God who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. Whoa, Megan, how does that little few verses, yeah, those first four verses hit you?
It's kind of like
bam.
It's a bam. You got that right. It's like, boom, here you go. The Bible and the way things come across is, you know, it's written so many years ago, but when you hear that, it makes so much sense.
Yes.
Because, you know, what he's telling us is when you do things out of the kindness of your heart, you do it under the radar. And
right.
What I mean by that is you don't need an audience to be compassionate.
Right.
You don't need the approval of someone else because you gave, you know, maybe gave a homeless person $5 so they could go get a coffee and a sandwich.
Right.
You don't need an audience because
right.
That's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord calls us to be fishers of men and to be of service to those in need.
Amen.
And, you know, it may not be something along a physical line of giving, you know, clothes or whatever. It may be a friendship, a listening ear, praying for someone.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you do it to get attention.
That's
you
exactly right.
Because that's what the Lord did when he was here walking the earth. He was the compassionate one going around praying for people, and he didn't do it to get attention.
Right. And he says, you know, some people are almost play acting, so to speak. You know, they just want attention. I've known people like this for years in the ministry. I mean, they will tell you what you want to hear, or they are attention seekers or whatever, or they want to pray the loudest or whatever. You know, Betty, talk to us about this. I love the reality here in Matthew 6, 1-4, where Jesus is saying, be real. But don't try to get attention from all your good deeds, you know?
Yeah, and I learned that a long time ago. Was involved in a prayer group, and this person leading the prayer group always wanted to have the upper hand to be able to, and I know you need a leader, but there were other people there that were anointed and knew how to pray.
Right.
And at one point during the prayer, the word hypocrite came up.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, no, am I a hypocrite?
So oh, you mean in that person's prayer, they were talking about hypocrites.
Yeah.
Oh,
about
oh, wow.
Being hypocrites. And it's
yeah.
Like, okay, Lord, am I a hypocrite?
Mm-hmm.
And I have never from that point on, I've never wanted people to know what I pray.
Right.
Because you don't want the left hand knowing what your right hand's doing. That's what I always thought. But it got to a point where I was afraid to pray.
This came up
probably 2 or 3 weeks ago again, because I have not been in my prayer closet as much as I should have.
You want to define that for our listeners, what a prayer closet is?
That's where you go to have your open dialogue with the Lord.
Not necessarily in a closet, correct?
No. If I can't even get in my closet. There's too much junk.
So you're not hiding out in your closet. Okay.
No. There's no way I could get in my closet.
Okay.
But it's a quiet place.
A quiet place
where you can find peace.
Yes. Amen.
Whether it be outside or whether it be in a room or in your car, that's where it all takes place.
Yes.
And the Lord has instilled in me that I need to quit thinking about what other people think of me.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in prayer mode.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was always afraid of never saying the right thing at the right time.
And God doesn't want us to be that way, right?
No, so
that's being self-conscious and feeling less than, you know? He doesn't want that.
No, he doesn't want that. He wants us to be open and communicative with him.
Right.
And, you know, it's like being, you want to pray, but you're not really sure how to pray. And the Lord says, don't be that way, Betty Lou.
Right.
I will, when I talk to him, it's like I'm talking to you right now.
Right.
I don't hold back anything. I say it the way it is. And it's coming down to the point where we're starting to pray for people at work. We're starting to pray for people, even in a store. People will look at you and go, "There's something different about you. Could you pray? Would you say, you know, please pray for me?"
Cool.
Or you'll see someone, like what Megan said, a homeless person, and you want to help them, but do it to the glory of the Lord. Don't do it because you want someone to pat you on the back and say, you know, you're a good person. That's not what the Lord wants us to do.
Exactly.
He wants us to be helpful and compassionate. But in the other hand, you don't want to be what they call a play actor.
Right.
And
yeah.
Everyone acknowledges what you do. That's not what the Lord wants.
Well, I totally agree with you. I'm going to direct your attention up a couple paragraphs to verse 48. Of Matthew chapter 5. In a word, this is what Jesus says. What I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. That verse 48 of Matthew 5, Megan, I want you to comment on it, but I want to read it one more time just to get it down in everybody's, you know, spirit here. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:48. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives towards you. Megan, comment on that, will you? Because it ties in here perfectly.
That's a powerful scripture right there.
It is.
Because, you know, even thinking of myself is, you know, saying grow up, you know, we shouldn't take that, you know, to be offensive, because it's not. What it means is, you know, there's a certain way that you should act. There's a certain way that you should hold yourself. And because the Lord is always watching.
Right.
And, you know, we can't run around here, down here. You know, we have things to do. It's you know, it's not just play and leave. It's called, we have things to do down here. We have to spread the love. We
yes.
have to spread
yes.
the salt and the light.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not something that should be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that scripture comes across to me, is it's important that we be mature Christians.
Amen.
That we're not hypocritical Christians.
Yes.
That we can give. We don't always have to receive.
Right.
And because that's what the Lord does for us. He's always giving to us.
He's a giver.
And exactly. And so, and the other part of growing up would be, what are we giving him? because he gives us everything. Woo. What are we giving him? Are we giving him a little bit of our heart, or are we giving him the whole thing? Mm. Are we giving him our whole life, or just a tad, because we still want to hang on to the money that we have, the house that we have, the friends that we hang out? We've got to reevaluate ourselves here. And I think that's good. What he's trying to get across here today is that grow up part. Reevaluate your life and check yourself and make sure that you're actually doing and being the Christian that he wants you to be.
And absolutely right on, right on. And it is a thing of where we should be doing self-check, where we should be saying, Lord, you know, show me if there's any wicked way in me, you know. Lord, remind me, clean me, make my heart whiter than snow. Lord, reveal if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you. I love to pray that prayer, just simple, little, God, show me today if there's something I need to correct. Show me, Lord, that I want my heart pure before you. Betty, talk to us about this. Megan, you're right on here. You're right on. You both are. This is a great, powerful point that we should become real and genuine. I said that word to both of you in my email this morning, didn't I? Real. It's about real hope, real living, the Christ life. It's not about a bunch of, you know, sayings and platitudes and whatever. It's not even about how many verses you have memorized. It's about living what you believe. Betty, talk to me about that.
Well, excellent point, Megan. I think that the Lord wants us to be more like him.
Amen.
Each and every day of our lives. And I think it takes a grown-up person in the spirit to say, Lord, I need you. You are the truth,
Amen.
The light, and the way. And he wants us to think about things before we do them. Depend on him totally. Depend on his word. Because it is the truth. And it seems like, Pastor and Megan, that we go about different ways of trying to make ourselves better. And the only thing that he's looking for is he looks to our heart. And he looks to see if we're working in the spirit, in truth.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it takes a lot to surrender.
Yes.
Different areas of our life where we want to have control,
mm-hmm.
but that's where we have to depend on our Heavenly Father, because, you know, the Lord is perfect. I mean, we can't be perfect like him, but we can, and we have the God-given right to surrender,
mm-hmm.
and to repent and to give God things that we don't have control over, that, you know, without God, what would we do?
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think that when you combine verse 48 of Matthew 5 here, growing up, learning to really live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward us, and then you go down to about verse 4 of Matthew 6 here, when he says, all that Jesus is saying here is don't look for other people's applause or for them to pat you on the back and tell you how spiritual you are or anything. He says, when you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. God does not put one of those great big banners on those little airplanes that fly over Clearwater Beach and say, hey, I just answered Betty's prayers today. You know, he doesn't do that about himself, does he? Megan, talk to me about this. Being genuine here, don't you think? And being not an attention seeker. I think that's what Jesus is saying.
Absolutely. You know, we don't have a flashing red sign on our forehead that says, I'm a Christian.
Right.
It doesn't flash up and off.
Right.
And, you know, it comes from being the kind-hearted, compassionate, caring person.
Right.
It comes from people being able to see the Lord through you.
Right.
Through your actions and your words. And, you know, it can't be a thing where it just comes and goes. It needs to be an all-the-time kind of thing. It needs to stick all the time, not just when you want it to.
Amen.
And, you know, it's not for
Right.
We're not doing it to go through
the stuff. So you're not doing it for brownie points with God or for people around you, right? And that's how Jesus starts out this chapter, talking about living generously and graciously toward others. And then he starts talking about prayer. And I love this in Matthew chapter 6, because this, he begins then, he does teach the Lord's Prayer here. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Lord's Prayer today because there's so much we could say about that. But I think that what is interesting is that the disciples really did have a genuine desire to know how they were supposed to pray. You know, was it supposed to be full of what we call Elizabethan English, which the first King James Bible was translated in the 1600s in what then the way they spoke, Elizabethan English, where there's a lot of these and thous and saith and ths on the end of things. And that's one reason I love the Message Bible now, because it is translated in the way we talk now. And it's very, very accurate, thought by thought. But in the 1600s, when they translated the first Bible into English in the King James, it was very kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Stilted, I suppose, in the way they talked. And it's interesting that Jesus is got a message here in Matthew 6 of being genuine, being real, being simple. Talk to me about all that, Betty.
Well, I think the word that we're looking for is simplicity.
Yes. Yeah.
And the neat thing about that is that when you, you know, you think that you need to pray like the King James Version or the Elizabethan, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And I lost that a long time ago because I work with children.
Yeah.
And it becomes to the point where it's like, oh, God, please take the, you know.
Right.
It's not that way.
Right.
It's like, again, like I said, I'm talking to you and Megan, you know, Heavenly Father, how I love you. I mean, it's.
Right. Yes.
It's the theatrical production.
Right.
Or the I am greater than you type of, I can pray like, you know, like the people on the corner in the synagogue. But that's not the way that we don't have to pray that way.
But I mean,
if that's the way you pray, fine.
Yeah, if that is, yes.
But God gives us another avenue to say, oh, Jesus, boy, I really messed up today, you know.
And I know you say that a lot, Betty, don't you?
I do. I really do.
Because you're so ornery.
I is an honorary guest.
Yes, you are.
I is an honorary guest. But, again, when I said when I worked with children, it took out that
kind
greater
of,
than me.
Yeah, that stilted kind of language. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you take it down, you know, take it down to a level that
yes.
that
yes.
even a child could understand. Be childlike when you pray, and it makes sense to you, and the Lord's going, yes.
Don't,
I finally reached that point.
Yes.
Where I can talk to you in a way that you will understand me when you read my word.
I so agree, and I also want to make this point, and Megan, I want you to respond to this. I think a lot of times people are afraid to pray, and the reason they are is because they have heard, you know, maybe growing up in church or whatever, people pray with the these and the thous and saith and all kinds of things where they feel like they don't know how to pray like that. And they're not going to measure up if they pray, so they just don't pray. I think a lot of times people are afraid to pray or feel like God's too busy with everybody else. He doesn't have time for me anyway. You want to respond to that, Megan?
Absolutely. And, you know, also prayer can be intimidating because
yeah.
you think about who you're talking to.
Right.
It's like, oh, my, you know, I've got to come prepared. I've got to come, you know, I have to sound correct. I have to, you know, be cautious in what I say. No, that's the wrong impression because, you know, in my daily adventures in my life, the only the way I know to talk to him is if I was talking to you or to my husband or my son or my mom, it's like, hey, Lord, you know, I'm having a rough day. This is a really nasty day. I need you.
Yes.
And he hears you. It doesn't have to be a theatrical Broadway experience. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for someone that is, you know, has a PhD in prayer. You have a PhD in prayer when you get to the childlike type of attitude where you're talking to the dad.
Well,
and you're talking to your best friend. It's not something that you need to study up to do. You just have to learn how to talk to him, and he listens to everything you say.
Well, that is so true. In verse 5 of Matthew 6 says this, when you come before God, this is Jesus talking, when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? I love that. And then verse 6 starts out, and then Betty, I want your comments on this. Here's what I want you to do. This is what Jesus says. Now, if a paragraph starts with, here's what I want you to do, wouldn't that mean we should all really pick up our ears here and turn them on and make sure that we've got our headsets on so we can hear what Jesus is about to say? Because I love that verse. I love that Matthew 6:6 starts with this phrase. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place. So you won't be tempted to role play before God. Whoa. Talk to me about that sentence, Betty, before we read the rest.
Well, that's the prayer clause that I was talking about.
It is.
That's where we go. And, you know, if Jesus said it, a simplistic answer is, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simplistic. It's like, duh.
Right.
That's what, you know, sometimes in listening to people talk or reading people's emails or reading people's texts or whatever, and you want to just include something to say, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
And if you are tempted to, I know a lot of people are. I used to be one until I had this pastor in Newcastle that called me out more than once to pray for people because I was afraid to pray.
Who was that?
That was some pastor named Pastor Martin McAllister.
I guess it was many years ago.
Many years ago that got me out of that box that I had put myself in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that I've asked to even say, hey, why don't you think about doing radio? Well, I don't know the word as much as you do. And I said, hey, all I do is I let the Spirit lead me.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do when we pray.
Right.
That's probably for another time. But it gets down to the point where just be yourself.
Be yourself and be simple. You know.
Yeah, let your heart.
Yes.
Stop your mind from, well, I was just doing this yesterday, Lord. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I am having a really rough day. Like
exactly.
Megan,
yes.
And you know what? His ears open immediately he hears our voice and he listens. He listens and he counsels us. He gives us that comfort that we need in that time when we are in our quiet place. And it's just when Jesus talks, people listen.
You know, this is exactly right. And I want to go back to this sentence, and then I want your take on it, Megan. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. I grew up in church as a pastor's daughter, as a missionary's daughter, later as a youth pastor, and then pastored two churches since then. And honestly, I have known many people through my lifetime, especially when I was a little kid sitting in church And knowing that so-and-so, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, we didn't call them brothers and sisters then, but somebody would be standing up and starting to pray because they always did. And they always said some of the very same phrases. They always did. I don't know if either of you have ever had that happen, or you kind of know that certain people are going to pray out loud. They're going because they want to be noticed. Megan, have you ever had experienced anything like that?
Absolutely. You know, I've been in a bunch of different denominational churches, and there's always something like that where, you know, that one person
fell
out something. But, you know, it could be that the Holy Spirit let them do it. You know, I'm not casting judgment, but yes, you know, there are those people that pray that way, and there's nothing wrong with it. But then there's those that pray silently to themselves, and that's where I think it's important that, you know, the basis of our prayers would come from that quiet place.
Because yes.
That's when we really are ourselves, when
right.
we don't have to think that we have to pray in a way that, you know, Johnny over here thinks that we need to pray.
No, exactly.
You know, that's where we learn who we are, is through that prayer time, because that's when we have the one-on-one time with the Lord. And that's
Amen.
That's the strongest praying you'll do, is when you're on your knees by yourself.
You know, by yourself, and when you're just simple about it, and
right.
it takes courage. This next song we're going to do is also one of our favorites, all three of us, and it's Courageous by Casting Crowns. Betty, talk to me about how that fits in with this whole concept of finding a quiet place and not just being yourself when you pray.
Well, I think that it breaks down a lot of barriers that you might have about prayer, that it takes you into a new realm of praying.
Yeah.
It gives you the opportunity to speak what's going on, or to tell, you know, to speak to our Heavenly Father in a way that will enlighten you.
Yes.
That will uplift you, that will fill your faith tank to be faced up.
Amen.
That will build trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
That will make you courageous enough to step outside of that box that you've held yourself in and are captive in, because you really don't know how to pray.
Right.
And you know, the Lord's Prayer is an example of how to pray. And like you said, that's for another time. But God hears our prayers.
Amen.
Even if it's so much as, Lord, I need you. I need you now. I mean, that's as simple as you can get, or just the mention of his name,
Woo.
Jesus.
Amen.
And he's there. He's there.
Be courageous.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chain. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees. seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with in the war of the mind, I will say my stand in the battle.
Love that song. I love that one sentence there. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. What does that mean, Megan?
That means that you are insufficient. That's the way that
Amen.
You know, I've got something heavy on my heart, that's where I go. I go to my knees. And that's when the Lord knows that, you know, Lord, I'm here, I'm at your feet. You know, I just want to touch the hem of your garment.
Yes,
and, you know,
yes.
To claim whatever it is that you're praying for. And I tell you what, he will meet you right there, wherever you are, and he will make his presence known.
Oh, amen, amen. So we got to be courageous, you know. We've got to go move forward in this prayer life that we all need to have. Jesus taught us to pray. I mean, the disciples here are saying, how do we pray? And then he gives them the Lord's Prayer as an example, kind of a pattern, kind of a things to include list. You know what I'm saying? But back up to verse 6 of Matthew 6. And then, Betty, I want your take on this. It very much, this is so important, this sentence. Jesus says, the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Now, his grace is best defined as his empowering presence, okay? A lot of times in the past, we've defined grace as something like when you get what you don't deserve, you know, like favor. That's part of it. But the real essence of grace, John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And now this is the part I want y'all to hear. Full of grace and truth. Jesus came to this earth, took on a human body, and he was full of grace and truth. Okay, truth is the Word of God. What the Word says about you is what's true. His presence is grace. His presence that empowers you to do things that you never thought you could do. Why do they always play Amazing Grace at funerals? I will tell you one reason, in my opinion, is because the writer of Amazing Grace understood that it was only God's grace that sees us through difficult times in our lives. It's his empowering presence that enables us to go through the death of a loved one. Megan, you can verify that with the death of your little son, Grayson, a year and a half ago or more. You know, it's his presence in us that gives us the strength. Megan, you want to respond to that before I get to your mama again?
Absolutely, because, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be in the healthy spiritual place I am today.
Right, amen.
And, you know, it's because I went to him in prayer. I went to him in need. And I listened. I accepted, you know, the Holy Spirit to be with me, because that during that time, that was the only way I was going to make it through
yes.
losing Grayson.
Right.
And still to this day, it really blows my human capabilities to look back and see the power of strength that just, you know, came out of my whole entire family.
It's absolutely.
That was the Lord's presence.
Right.
And, you know, looking back now, even looking at the pictures and thinking of it, it gives me goosebumps.
Right.
Because I have never in my life felt the presence of the Lord so strong. And I thank him for that every day. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without that. And it was such an amazing part of my life, even though it was so very hard. It was such an amazing turning point in my life.
Oh, it was, but Megan, I agree with you. You grew tremendously during that time spiritually, closer to God, because he is the one that allowed you to go through that, knowing that you were getting ready to deliver a child that had this, just the name of it just escaped me.
Congenital diaphragmatic hernia.
There you go. Congenital diaphragmatic hernia. You knew that his chances of survival weren't that great, and yet you went through this whole thing courageously, and knew when he went to be with the Lord, and knew when, you know, and it's just amazing what God, and Betty, Grandma, Betty, you went through it too, and you felt God's empowering presence, didn't you, in a mighty way that saw you and your husband, Joe, and of course, Megan's husband, Ben, and the whole family through all this, right?
Oh, my heavens, yes. I said if it wasn't for God's unmerited favor, we would not have been able to stand and stand strong. Watching our daughter go through that.
Yes.
She gave us the faith to keep going.
Right.
Seeing Christ in her through her prayers, through her courage that she had during this time, gave us the courage to say, okay, God, you've got this.
Right.
And to be able to pray the hardest prayer I ever prayed in my entire life was letting my grandson go.
Right.
And saying, God, let your will be done, not mine. And my daughter prayed that. We prayed that together. We prayed that together in the room with the family there. And I think that God's grace covered us to the point of, you know, his Holy Spirit was there. And it gives you a sense of comfort. It gives you a line of grace, so to speak, that when you're hurting and when there's nowhere else to turn,
right,
God's grace will see you through.
And it's his presence, you know? It's his presence in your life that caused you all to be able to handle the death of that baby. And dear listeners out there, some of you may be going through something very similar right now in your life. Perhaps you've just lost a loved one. Perhaps you are dealing with someone who is failing in health and you know they are going to soon be with the Lord. Or maybe you've just lost a marriage or whatever. Maybe you have teenagers that are in the grips of drugs and all kinds of things. Whatever your issues are, here's what we want to say to you today on Living the Good Life. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to really trust him, and it starts with you accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, letting him move into you, into your life, and then letting him, his presence in you, be what sustains you, what gives you courage, what gives you the ability to do this new adventure with him, because it is a new adventure, and he is going to cause you to have your focus shift from you to God, as Jesus said here in verse 6 of Matthew 6. The focus will shift from you to God. You will begin to sense his grace or his empowering presence in your life. And when you get that and you realize it, then it's so much easier just to talk to him and pray. Prayer does not have to be some sophisticated prayer that you write out. Prayer is just thoughts that, and as you articulate them out loud, I think that is the best, because then you hear what you're saying to God. You hear it too. Megan, talk to us about this. Wow. This time is flying.
You know, time does fly on the radio. I love it though. the time on the radio, not that it flies, that it
okay.
You know, one of the prayers that I remember praying was, I was almost due with Grayson, and I was driving to an appointment in Cincinnati every week, and that was generally my time alone with the Lord, was in the car on the way to those appointments. And, you know, I told him, I said, Lord, I can't do this.
Right.
And because I had, little Andrew was 4 years old, I can't do the NICU, Lord. I can't do this. I told him, I said, you're either going to have to heal him or you're going to either have to take him home. And, you know, that was a hard thing to say, but he knew that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how I was going to be at the hospital with a baby, you know, struggling to survive, and then also be there for my four-year-old. I didn't know how I was going to do it.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, it was hard to pray, but I told him the truth. And, you know,
good point.
So it's a good thing to do that because that relieves that pressure off of you. Be honest with the Lord. Tell him how you feel because he knows anyway. But
that's right.
Admit that pride. Admit that selfish, you know, that you're selfish or that you don't think you can do this. And tell him you need his help.
Exactly.
And just be there. I am living proof.
Amen.
He shows up and he shows off. Every time that you ask him to, he's always going to be there.
And look how your faith has grown through what you went through, okay? And what we're teaching right now is people, we all need to be faithed up. We need to be so full of faith that no matter what comes our way, no matter what difficulty, what heartbreak, whatever happens in our lives, we have our friend, Jesus, right there living in us and walking with us no matter what we're going through. I like the last line of verse 7 right before Jesus gets into the Lord's Prayer. And in the Message Bible, it says this, and I want your take on this, Betty, before we get up here at the top of the hour. He says, this is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Now, interesting, he didn't say, because your Father knows what you need, you don't even need to bother to pray. Does he say that, Betty?
Nope.
He says, he knows better than you what you need. So with a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Talk to me about that, Betty.
Well, that's when we were talking about Grayson, I remember you want to talk about simplicity is hearing the prayer of a child. And you hear them say, Lord, heal my brother.
Right.
And you begin to think, is that all he's going to say? And that's all he needed to say.
Right.
Is that we put such a... we hold ourselves back, I think, sometimes, Pastor, because we're actually afraid to pray.
Right.
We're afraid to ask God what was in our hearts because we're afraid of the reaction that we're going to get, or we're going to. Excuse me, I'm out of breath. We're afraid of the outcome of what will happen.
Well, because we're not confident.
Right.
In our prayers, because
exactly. We
think we can't do it right,
exactly.
Quote unquote, whatever that means.
That's where courageousness comes
in.
That we're not afraid to approach the throne of glory.
Amen. Woo! We got to go to that verse as we start the next hour. We are going to Hebrews, and where it says to come boldly before the throne of grace. I believe it's 4. I think it's 4:14. I think so. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. It's such a joy to be able to share all of these truths with you, listening audience. We never get tired of it. We're in our 9th year on the air every Sunday afternoon in the Tampa Bay area. And you can access us not just on your AM radio, although that's fine, 1340 AM. You can also access us www.tantalk1340.com. You can also access this show on your cell phone by downloading TuneIn Radio, and that's an app. Also, if you miss shows and you really want to catch up, it's so cool now that we are syndicated and have been for about a year with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Now, this show, right now that we're doing today on January the 24th, will be heard this coming Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and also Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. When you go to that website, you just take a second for it to load up, and then you'll hear the show. 10 a.m. at noon on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Both days, Saturday and Sunday, you can hear the Go Yard. That's our Thursday night show, our life coaching show. You can hear that at noon on Saturday and Sunday. These are Eastern Standard Time times. And so one more time, on Saturday and Sunday, you can listen to this show we're doing today, starcomradionetwork.com, and at noon, our Go Yard show. Betty, tell us about Go Yard real quickly here before we get to the top of the hour.
Well, you know, listening to Thursday's show was just such an eye-opener for me with the thoughtful, in-depth discussions that you have on everyday circumstances in our lives.
Right.
That, you know, with Dr. Angel Falzoni, a registered, she's a psychologist.
She's a psychologist, PhD, and she's also a licensed mental health counselor also. Yeah. And she has like 27 counselors that work under her. So
yeah, she's just, I mean, it's amazing.
She's amazing.
The insight that she gives, along with, you know, your long record of counseling, you know, as a pastoral counselor.
Right.
I mean, those two gel together so well, and it gives all of us an
opportunity. It's like peanut butter and jelly. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. PBJ.
But it is
an amazing show, and I encourage people to listen and become more aware of what's going on in your own life. It's just amazing. Your shows are amazing.
Well, we just finished a two-part series, Handling Life's Uncertainties, so you can catch those also on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. At the end of each month, our webmaster, Dan, goes and puts all of our shows from this show, Living a Good Life, on our BOHMGlobal.com. That's our website for the ministry, BOHMGlobal.com. And also at the end of each month, he puts the Go Yard shows on goyard2014.org. That's an O-R-G, not a .com. Goyard2014.org. So you can go to our website. You're going to catch some of the old shows. So it's a good way to tell people to get acquainted with these shows. Anyway, it's a joy to be able to share the Word of God with you, listening audience, every week. We're going to talk about our prayer team in just a minute. Betty, I'm going to ask you about that, but let's do our station ID right here at the top of the hour.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with me, two of our radio team members, Betty Thomas, Megan Kramer, up in Indiana, who are a part of my church that I pastored up there for 7 years. And Betty, you pastor Jim, my associate, and Shell from our ministry here, handle the prayer requests. Would you talk a little bit about the prayer ministry before we do this next song?